Loud noise, Jack.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to the Sunday show on Here Be Monsters Radio. Tonight, we sort of build our guest as the Alyssa Milano cutout from the hearings, the Senate hearings that took place this last week. What happened was Alyssa Milano was enabled by her congresswoman to get a seat in the hearings, and you could see her directly over the shoulder of Kavanaugh as he was testifying out there. The other thing is that what has happened with this Republican circus in the Senate has been, I think, one of the, I don't think in American history you're going to find another day other than the day that Congress passed the amendment for women to vote, 19th, right? I don't think you've ever seen such a historic day for women in this country as the day that those hearings took place. And it's not to negate the importance of the Anita Hill hearings either, or the Thomas hearing and what happened there. But I do believe that one thing is for sure. Kavanaugh has accomplished this, him and his companions in the Republican Senate there. They have galvanized the majority of women in this country. Jack, you with me?
Yeah, I hear you. The gender gap is at record highs right now, and I just hope a lot of gentlemen will get the clue and follow their lady friends into the voting booth and vote similarly, because we need to get rid of these Republicans. They're doing absolutely nothing. Mitch McConnell is a constipated turtle who has absolutely nothing to offer the country. He's done nothing except obstruct during the Obama era, and he's pushing along the so-called conservative agenda right now, and it's not good for anybody.
I agree with you, Jack. But what
except rich people. That's all, the only people it's any good for.
Well, this is one of the things said during the last election, that people needed to get out and vote because it was the Supreme Court that was the real in jeopardy subject on the vote in 2016. Well,
and Kavanaugh is a lot. You can tell he's Trump's nominee because he echoes Trump in so many ways. It's unbelievable.
Well, he was coached on what to say and what to do for those hearings, and basically he felt the freedom to go ahead and carry on with a dry drunk like that and sound like a conspiracy theorist as far as Democrats go. The whole thing was sort of staged, and what they're doing is they're ginning up their base for the midterm elections. And but they don't think it's going to backfire in their faces. Well, if you listen to Wayne before we went on, he'll tell you they were successful and that they're going to get this thing pushed through. Well, I will tell you this. It may really, really be a heavy loss for them in those midterms with senators who are up for re-election. And it also may hurt them a great deal as far as the future of elections go in this country and what can happen when the House and the Senate have a majority of the other party in there, that they can also begin impeachment hearings on evidence provided by the FBI, which they can institute an investigation again in or get the records from the one that's going on, and bring him back and impeach him, take him down from the Supreme Court.
I'm all for it. Let's hope.
Article.
Let's see it happen.
Huh? published that say that they'd like to do the same thing with Clarence Thomas, which I think is probably a good idea. But all in all, the over, I don't know if you gentlemen have seen the news or the, it's a lot of it is on social media with personal uploadings of videos by camera, phone camera, of women on street corners all across this nation in the last few days holding impromptu rallies that say, we've had it. And they're telling their stories about sexual assault and patriarchy and what they have put up with. It's incredible. It reminds me very much of the NOW movement in the late 60s, early 70s, when women like Betty Friedan and Gloria Steinem were out beating the bushes to try and get equal rights passed through,
right,
which we're still waiting on.
They have made some headway, thank God, because it's the only just thing to do. For God's sakes, what the hell's wrong with this country? Why is it taking us so damn long to get things straight? We are way behind the times in so many areas.
Well, we're talking to a man with two daughters, and I want them to have the same equal opportunities, the same pay as any man doing the same job, because it sustains my family and the needs of my family.
And it's just. It's fair.
Anybody.
Yeah,
it's fair and it's just.
Wayne, let me tell you what. The first day in office, that was the first thing Barack Obama signed, was equal pay for women. That was the first thing. I think it was probably the first thing that executive ordered out of Trump was rescinded or taught, you know, executive order shut down.
Yeah.
That's an executive order. But that was the first thing Barack Obama did when he got into the White House, was to sign that equal pay. And
It's not being followed through. See what I'm saying? It can be on the books, you know, laws can be on the books, but if nobody's willing to prosecute and make sure they get enacted, then it's kind of a mute point.
The only thing I can think
of this administration.
The only thing I can address to that is the fact that, look at what's happened within a matter of a year in Hollywood. And I will remind you that last week we also saw Bill Cosby chicken marched into jail.
Right.
This is the year of the woman, they say. Well, last Thursday was the moment of the women.
Right.
And it was personified by Dr. Chrissy Ford standing up. I don't know if you guys watched.
I watched the whole thing. She was incredibly good, very articulate, well-spoken, intellectual. She knew what the hell she was talking about, and she did herself and her cause immense amount of good. I thought she did magnificently.
Well, Jack, I don't think she really had a cause. I think what she did was something that was incredibly, excruciatingly hard for her to do.
Very hard for her.
And she did it because she felt the need.
The civic need. That was her words. The civic duty. And I applaud her for that. What a courageous woman to do that. And she didn't have to. She could have just sat and sat back in California and done nothing and, just let things progress. But, no, she wanted to take a stand and tell the world of what had happened to her. And I believe her 100%. There's no case of mistaken identity or any of this nonsense that Kavanaugh apologists have come up with. That's insane. No, she knew what was going on then when she was 16 or 17, and she knows what's going on today, and she knows that Brett Kavanaugh is not judicial Supreme Court material in the least.
Well, there was even another male friend of Kavanaugh's in the room when all was this going on. He was sitting there laughing, enjoying the show. He wrote that in a book. How much more evidence do you need?
Yeah,
and my next question I want to follow up with is, What do we know about this second female accusing him of the exact same thing, Kavanaugh, the exact same thing?
There's an FBI investigation underway. And not only is the third woman also being interviewed by the FBI, but so
thank God.
Gail.
You know, I'm so glad that Senator Jeff Flake was trapped in an elevator with women that were outraged over the way things were going in that hearing, because he got an earful and he deserved it, and it made him change his mind. He was originally going to support Kavanaugh, and there wouldn't have been any issue whatsoever. There wouldn't have even been an FBI investigation. Thank God those women had the courage to speak up the way they did and nail him. He deserved it.
Well, Will, I tell you, Jack, even after FBI investigation, Flake will still approve it. He's already said that.
Oh, really? Nah, that's too bad.
It's time to quit going along to get along, sitting back. It's time to get in their faces and throw it back at them. That's the only way. That's the only thing they understand.
Well, there's a little hope that the Alaska Senator Barbara, whatever, I forget her last name now, begins with an M. She has a huge Native American population in Alaska that was offended by Kavanaugh, and they're strongly, staunchly anti-Kavanaugh, and they're lobbying very heavily for her to vote against his confirmation, and I hope they're successful, because that guy's bad news.
They need three votes to squelch it, and there's her, the woman up in Maine, and then another senator.
Yeah.
Maine senator, but all three have to get on board.
Susan Collins has already indicated that she thinks she should vote for it. After Thursday, she's been rather mute.
Yeah, right.
FBI records, but I'll tell you what, Susan Collins is trying to put together a campaign to run for governor. But if she votes for Kavanaugh, she's going to have one hearty fight on her hands, publicity-wise, just by one the state of Maine loves, and that's Stephen King.
If she wants to maintain her bid for governor, she has to vote against this. That's insane that she thinks she can sneak by under the wire voting for this jerk. That blows my mind. I can't believe anybody's that damn dumb.
Well, the other point about this, too, is the fact that any senator who, at this point, any woman senator that votes for his,
for
passing, I think that their office is in jeopardy in their next election. We don't know. We really don't know until the election happens. But Andrew Gillum down here running against Santos for governor is up 9 points.
That's
and
good.
He hasn't got near the money to put out these. And the other thing is that old fart, Bill Nelson, who is our Democratic senator here running against.
But he's up in the polls, too.
He's up in the polls against Scott. Thank gosh.
Not much, though. That's why people got to get out and vote.
The thing is that the vote that's going to count in elections in the next few years are the women's votes. And it has been the women who have come out for the Democrats.
Oh, yeah, big time.
We need our brothers to come and do their job,
Absolutely, without question. I second that emotion definitely.
It's been a hard, hard time in this country.
Hey, guys, listen to Jack here. I'm a guy, and you've got to use your heads. Don't think voting Republican is somehow masculine. It's foolish. It's dumb. It's defeating economically. It's defeating socially. It's defeating any way you look at it, except maybe to your pride. And if you're proud because you vote Republican, then you need your head examined. That's all I can say about it.
Well, Jack, this is where I say you cannot let it go by any longer, saying that this is okay, it's been acclimated. You know, you need to throw that shame back into their face.
Absolutely.
And if nothing else, try to get them to at least self-evaluate this instead of this being rewarded and, oh, yeah, you vote Republican, you're voting for God, kind of crap. Need to go at them and get shameful.
Thoroughly disproven. That's such a bunch of bullshit. There still are people out there that believe that, though. And they're very, very sadly mistaken.
Well, it's very high ignorance.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
They're so full of internal hate that this is what they think is, in other words, the only way they feel good about themselves is to tear other people down. That's the hate.
Right. And that's not to say all Republicans are of that mindset, because they're not. I know some very good Republicans who I consider to be enlightened Republicans. They don't believe. First of all, they don't believe in Trump. They think he's a joke, and he is. And they're enlightened conservatives. There is such a thing, You don't, just because you're conservative in nature or in political outlook, does not mean you're necessarily wrong or you're evil or you're wacky or anything like that. It's just where you believe,
Jack, they simply are not part of what they call the base. They are the remnants and the continuing evolution of what they call the moral majority.
Oh, and that was so insane.
They're crazy old white people.
Right, and they're fearful. They're fearful of the future. That's the baddest thing of all.
Well, and it's not even economically sound for the future of the country. It's
not at all.
It's horrifying to understand that ideology and partisanship, with a white banner across it, is making the rules in a country as diverse as America, and that's
exactly
changing very quickly. It's changing. One thing that happened day that I saw that made me smile, and it's the first person who's been put on the table it's the first time this person who has been put on the table before said that the run for the presidency in 2020 was on the table, and that was Senator Elizabeth Warren.
Oh, interesting. Good.
Yeah, well, she's the only candidate I can see myself right now.
Yeah, I would vote for her in a heartbeat without any question. She has a very clear vision of where this country's gone wrong and where it needs to go in the future to make it right and just and honest and non-corrupt. And she's got it down big time.
Well, it tells me.
Elizabeth Warren, but, there's also now, she's already been labeled. It's like the old political adage: if you don't get yourself identified, your opponent will be glad to do it. And he's already nailed her with the Pocahontas ha 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 kind of stuff. I would like to see somebody French that they haven't been able to lambaste to be able to step up and come through.
Well, the people that follow Trump's Pocahontas nonsense, she'll never reach those people anyway. Piss on them. I consider them lost people. Those people are out of their minds.
No, listen, that's just bullshit, because there is nobody that is going to run as an independent or a Democrat, especially a woman, that hasn't been labeled or won't be labeled the second they get the wind of it, even.
Right.
I mean,
that's a good point.
All the women, and of course they have the old standards for guys like Bernie Sanders or Honey Joe, Biden. All these old white men got to step aside, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. It's time for a new wave in many ways.
And women,
I'm ready for
women are better leaders, guys. That's just on the table. That's factual. It's evidentiary. They care about
I will back you up, Gwen, with that statement. I'll stand side by side with you any day of the week, anywhere, with that statement.
Me too.
You are exactly right. I'm ready for a matriarchal aspects now to take over the House and the presidency, and hopefully in 2020 the Senate, because there's only, what, 8 seats up for grabs, and, you know, we're not going to flip the Senate this semester, this election. It'll have to be in 2020. The ball's got to start rolling and start steamrolling.
We've got to keep this intensity and this electoral intensity alive and keep it going, and we will.
You know, there's been so many political upsets and elections in the last year and in the last 6 months that I'm surprised to hear you guys say that that Senate can't be turned. I really am, because I think it's a time when you just don't know what the hell's going to happen.
Well,
it is very unpredictable. But, and I don't really believe, though, that the Senate, I think the odds are too great that in this particular election we're going to do it. I think in 2020 we'll have a better shot. But I'm hoping I'm wrong.
Yeah, well, same here, Jack. I'm here. I'm going with Professor Ron and his evaluation of it. Yes, let's hope we can do it. Let's work to do it. Let's at least get very damn close to flipping the Senate.
One thing is for sure, anybody that's sitting on the fence right now and is unsure of how they're going to vote or if they're even going to vote, I urge you, even if you've never done so in the past, please contact your city hall, your county clerk, whoever you need to talk to, and find out how you can register. And please do register to vote. We've got a month to go, and that's usually long enough. Waiting time. You've got to do it within the next week or so at the very latest, and make sure you're registered. Make sure when you show up at the voting booth, you can vote, and then vote against this Trump aspect and these crazy, crazy, backward-looking people.
Well,
Wayne,
I've got to tell you this.
Ron's model of how it works, he even realizes it's not playing out anymore. These elections that have happened in the past year have shown that. And in fact, the last presidential election showed that, because the polling was completely off.
Yeah, right.
It was completely off because nobody figured the Russians would be hacking and flipping the votes at the voting booths.
Well, that's quite true. But my point is, you've got Andrew Gillum running down here. You've got seats being taken away from, two generations of one political in an office. You can't say anymore what's going to happen, because the events that are happening so fast in the last 2 years are changing the whole structure of voting.
And it's a reaction to Trump, to Trumpism. People do not like it. He may have snuck by with electoral votes, but he'll never do it again.
That's not the deal, though. There's always going to be a base of people of 30 or so
that go for his bullshit. Yep.
And Americans who are living in fear every day, and the drama provided by a guy like Trump and the Republican Party is something they're really into. The real point here is that all bets are off. We got sitting up in the I-4 corridor here in Florida, a majority of newly registered Puerto Rican voters who are all registering Democrat. You get what
right.
I'm saying?
Good for them.
There are things that are happening in the state of Michigan that's going to blow the doors off those elections. Happening in the state of California that are going to blow some doors in ways we might not like, too. But it's blowing things up. The whole thing is right now events are happening just weekly that are shifting the voting population. Those people who are paying attention, those people are shifting. And the influx of young, new voters, it's incredible. The numbers are incredibly high.
Overwhelmingly Democratic, too. Not Democrat. This Trump bullshit about the Democrat Party. I'm going to start calling them Republicas instead of Republicans, because, you know, if you're going to cut off the suffix of a name of something, I can do that, too. Anybody can do it. So I'm going to start calling them Republicas.
the thing is, guys, it's all brand new, shiny, spanking new territory. So when you throw that old ball of wax, even Nate Silver is being discredited as far as it goes. You throw that old board up on the wall and say it's going to run this way, you're absolutely 100% wrong. And the evidence is on the table in the last year of how wrong that is. And between now and November 6th, what events happened that shifted even further, you just don't know. Shit's happening fast, gentlemen. It's happening fast, and people are being galvanized. You have any of you seen these incredible little videos that are being posted all over social media of women on street corners in places like Maine and California and Mississippi, where they're saying, we've had the fuck enough. This is it. We are not going to take it anymore. And these are women, I mean, there's one really great one of a woman in Maine who is your average. You would have thought she was a Republican if she hadn't said something. I mean, how you can tell is because she's white, she's a matron, and she's middle class. And she said, enough is a fucking enough. And this is how women are responding. And the F word is being used constantly by these women. There is a mass unification going on where people are being galvanized together. And their sisters in the millennial generations and the younger women are also tied to that outrage and rage.
That's great. That's a good development. And, you know, the nice thing is people are really starting to pay attention to the issues, to the debates, to what's going on, and that's a very healthy development.
Well, basically, Jack, a lot of the NBC, ABC, and CBS networks, their nightly news is beginning to actually explode with
focus.
All of these events.
Yep.
Yeah. And people are learning because the majority of people in this country do not watch MSNBC, Democracy Now!,
that's right.
Speech TV, well, they all watch Fox News, but they do watch CNN, though.
Even Fox has come out, surprisingly, with some different takes on different stories. That's a healthy development, too.
Well, Fox News goes with whatever bleeds for the base will lead.
Exactly, yeah.
Chris Wallace started out on Thursday saying she was highly credible, yada, yada, yada. The minute that Kavanaugh had a temper tantrum, he was the hero of the day. So, you know, Fox News is a propaganda machine.
Oh, yeah, they always have been.
Whatever big white boy is on the block, and that's the basics of that. MSNBC has its bent. But as long as they're going to put people like Morning Joe on and Chris Wallace and a few others, they could say, rightly, that they're expressing the views of many contemporary people in the country. And they are. Most of those shows are getting good ratings. And then you've got CNN, which, you know, whatever. I don't pay much attention, but they've been breaking news like the Washington Post.
Oh, yeah.
Know?
You know, I've been vacillating. I've been going between MSNBC and CNN a lot, and I never watch Fox. But I see clips that appear on those other networks from Fox. And
yeah.
I'm encouraged by what I'm seeing. I know Fox is never going to be 100% really good, but it still is. The most watched cable news network. That's disgusting, but it's true, and it's a reality, and it's something we got to work on to overturn.
Well, that's really crazy, because you know who's ruling the network, the cable network news ratings at 9 o'clock on the weeknight?
Well, that's Rachel Maddow, and she's on MSNBC.
Right.
But she's one of a kind. That whole MSNBC is not pivoted way ahead of Fox. It's in certain time slots, it's doing better. But by and large, as a general rule, it's not.
And for those listeners, I would like to point out, Fox News is owned by a Saudi Arabian and an Australian whose main purpose is to get people in America to hate each other.
Yeah, they like spectacle. They like conflict. Conflict sells, you know. That's what they're trying to do. Any old way they can get ratings.
They're not really representing what's good for American people. Again,
not at all. Never have
Saudi Arabian and an Australian that has divided this country, so polarized, and people have allowed them to do it because it played on their hatred.
Now, with people getting a little more enlightened and paying more attention to actual issues, let's hope that will change and they'll lose massive amounts of viewership. Let's hope so, because we don't need to be spoon-fed bullshit any longer or propaganda.
Australia and New Zealand, and we used to have it in this country. It was Ronald Reagan who rescinded it. Used to have a law that said
a fairness doctrine.
What it was, it said that, you know, if you're broadcasting news, it has to be truthful. It has to be factual. You have to be able to back it up. And during the Reagan administration, that was wiped out, and that's when Fox News took off. They started ginning up bullshit, playing on people's fears, their prejudices, everything that is exactly the opposite of this country used to stand for.
Thank
and
you,
that's,
Rupert
that's
Murdoch, you idiot. You've screwed up the entire country, the entire world, really. And Bill Ailes, thank God those guys are getting out of the picture. Bill Ailes is gone, thank God. And Rupert Murdoch is receding into the past, and his sons are taking it over. And let's hope that we see some change.
It's an economic thing. None of them change because it's not broken in their minds. They're making money.
Excuse me, can I get it here?
Go ahead.
Override. Here, I'm going to get an override button. We have a caller, and I'm going to open up the phone lines. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Very good.
Caller 914, I have no idea. Your mic is open. Do you have a question or something you would like to say, a comment?
Oh, I was just listening.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's
we're glad you're out there. Nice to hear from you. What is your name?
Katie.
Nice to hear from you, Katie.
My oldest daughter's name's Katie. So now that's a plus for you.
Thanks. That's a great name. Yes.
Great. And we're glad you're listening. And we hope it's enlightening and entertaining for you.
I was going to say, tell us your thoughts. Open up to us.
Well, I just know that you're going to be speaking about Kavanaugh tonight and that whole thing happening there. Yeah,
how do you feel about
I really
it?
Hope
how
he
do
doesn't get elected. That's my thought on it. Yeah, I don't think anybody like that. I think his credibility is nil at this point. And
yeah, he's lying through his teeth. You know, I was saying earlier, Katie, about how similar he is to Trump in that fashion, because both of these men, I'm going to do my next post on the Saturday Afternoon Post about that, about how both of these men are so similar because they both lie through their teeth to get ahead. They both are defiant, and they're both controversial. They want to stick out all the time and be noticed, and that's not a healthy situation.
Right. Yeah, it's not about the country. It's about their ego.
Exactly, and that's so pathetic.
Yeah, it's sad. It's really sad. Yeah.
Well, it's all about their financial gain and those who contribute to it. It's really they're really just raping the American workers' tax dollars, the stuff in their own pockets through their greed.
Exactly.
And the thing is, coming up here is one of the first cases that Kavanaugh gets on there is that they're calling it like double indemnity. In other words, if you are brought up on federal charges and found guilty, and Trump pardons you, well, then state-level crimes cannot be brought against you. So it's an olly-olly entry. In other words, you're not going to be held accountable because if he pardons you, then the states cannot prosecute with their crimes against you.
That's what the things on
that
the docket.
That flies right in the face of states' rights. I can't imagine that passing.
Katie, I'd like to ask you to watch Dr. Ford's testimony.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that.
Did you watch Dr. Ford's testimony?
I heard it. I heard a bit of it. For me, it's like it's very emotional, but I did hear some of it. I believe she's telling the truth from what I heard. I don't think it's a question of that. Both of them, both of the ladies. One doctor, I don't remember which one it was very astute in describing exactly how it imprinted, you know, on her memory. I don't know if you heard that, but like,
oh yes,
gave, like, yeah, yeah.
She was very articulate. That was Dr. Ford. She did a great job. I watched that whole interview. I thought it was outstanding.
Yeah.
Well, plus, too, Jack, let me allow. There was also another young man in the room. He was basically watching this going on. He was entertained by basically the assault on her. He's even written about it in a book. As far as I'm concerned, that should be one of the first things the FBI takes as their evidence of the crime that Kavanaugh committed against Ford.
That's Mark Judge, isn't it? Isn't that his buddy, Mark Judge?
No. No.
I thought it was.
No, he's nowhere near Washington.
Well, he wrote a book of fiction that I can't remember all the details on it, but something along those lines. A lot of it paralleled what...
I was going to say, it's fiction. He was recounting it. He's calling it fiction.
But
in essence, you write what you know, and he knew.
Well, that's true. But the thing is that now the FBI will be actually going and interviewing him. And whatever credibility they find in him, they find in him. It will all be
I just really hope that they will unearth something that will prove devastating to this Kavanaugh's succession to the Supreme Court. I don't want him on the court. He doesn't belong there. He's the most unfit for the Supreme Court seat I have ever seen, ever nominated. I can't believe they nominated the guy. Only Trump could do something like this.
Well, Clarence Thomas was a pretty bargain.
He was pretty bad, too. George W. Bush, H.W. Bush will never be able to forgive you for that. What a goofy move that was.
Well, and George W. Bush has been calling all the Republicans and telling them to go ahead and Kavanaugh.
Yeah, God help us.
This has become a real partisan, just exactly what Lindsey Graham said. Jack, I didn't ask you, but what was your response when you saw Lindsey Graham go off like he did?
Oh, my blood pressure spiked. That guy irritated me so damn bad with his ranting and raving and pro-Kavanaugh stuff. Drove me absolutely nuts. And his insane allegations that the Democrats are all, and Kavanaugh's too, that, oh, far left conspiracy of millionaires, millions from far left individuals and all. That's insane. God almighty, where do they come up with this nonsense?
They come up with it because that's what the drumbeat
the base goes for, yeah.
For the last, on the Clintons, for the last 10 years. But the hubris that went on by Lindsey Graham and McConnell this past week about, you know, how dare you stand in the way of our, it's nothing but a Democrat conspiracy to keep conservative judges off the bench, well, you know, from being heard. The hubris of it when Merrick Garland was not even given an opportunity.
Exactly, exactly.
It's insidious. And Lindsey Graham, I guess the day on the shows this morning, it was pretty obvious, and the commentary is, that Lindsey Graham is bucking for Jeff Sessions' job.
I heard that, yeah. I think I was on AM Joy today. I think I saw that there. Yeah, it's, I tell you what, these guys are such connivers. You just can't trust any of them. They're always out for their own damn good, and they don't give a damn about any principles at all. And the Republican Party is devoid of principle any longer. They're simply out for power.
Not for money that is speaking
money.
To you.
Yep.
It's just like when they were talking about the tax cut and it wasn't going to go through, the bankers, the big heavy investors that have bought and paid the Republican representation,
mm-hmm.
told them. It was made public. They told them, if you don't pass this, don't ever come back for us for any more money. Pass this damn bill.
Right.
And Paul Ryan pushed it through within 2 days.
Here's the grassroots on the upcoming election. Yeah, women are galvanized. Events have got people up. There is a blanket of emotional stress across this country.
Right.
But here's the thing. When it comes to electing people, they are going to be, most people, the majority of voters are going to be listening to policy. What are you going to do about whatever the state conditions are? What are you going to do about my health care? What
right.
are you going to do about raising my salary? Teachers across this country can't even make it. What are you going, and rescue workers are coming into that too. We are in big trouble here. And people
anytime you let the far right billionaire class reap all the profits and all the income and get rid of labor unions that at least fought for somewhat of a more fair share of the national economic pie, and they're all but decimated now. They have very little power anymore except in government jobs, and that's what's going to happen. You're going to have a vast amount of income going to the wealthy who don't need it, and it's just a game with them. It's just a power play for them, and they don't need it. The people that need it are the people on the streets and the people that are working every day and not getting ahead and falling further behind little bit by little bit. That's
the
unjust.
The upper 1% had a 13% increase in the wealth that was directed towards them this year alone, 13% increase in their wage, in their wealth. The working middle class has been stagnant since Ronald Reagan.
That's a long time, yeah.
This is basically leadership that is not community or constituent-minded. And that's why women who are community-minded, for them, a lot of them, a majority of them, not all of them at all. I mean, and there's a lot of men who are very community-minded. But when it comes to this partisan political bullshit that's going on, it's just incredible. But one thing that happened this week also, which was really, I thought, pretty stunning, was that Governor Jerry Brown out there in California signed a bill that requires corporate boards to include women.
Yeah, I like that. That's great.
That's pretty large as far as starting to dig away at and burrow into this
Let's shatter that glass ceiling.
Yeah, it doesn't shatter it, but it represents to. It works towards it.
Right.
And California, of course, is leading the way as far as states go on many things. Healthcare, energy, and economy. They are the third largest economy in the world, crying out loud.
Yes.
Isn't that incredible?
Yes.
Well,
plus two, when Jerry Brown took over, California was in a very deep debt, running negative numbers.
Right.
This year, just as he's finishing up his term, has a surplus, and California is booming, economically healthy. Like you said, the third largest economy in the world.
Right.
Well,
doing something
wrong.
This is the pattern. Let's emulate California.
Well, this is because Governor Brown and his state legislators enacted a lot of laws that restricted all of the corporate giveaway funding to Palo Alto and the computer industry and Hollywood and the movie industry. They said, look, you're going to pay your fair friggin' share. And that was one of the things that changed and brought more to the state and the people. On the other hand, they've also lost some of their entitlement growth and their entitlement giveaways for single mothers and stuff. There's lots of fights going on in their state house too. But overall, they are leading the way where most of us should be, especially on energy and how we
especially with this progressive legislation. We are in such dire need of more and more and more of it, and we're getting so very little of it, and it's very encouraging to see it wherever it pops up and wherever it is successful. And it will be successful because it's fair. It's for everybody, not just a few.
Right. And Gwen, let me elaborate on the energy that you made mention of. They are very proactive in photovoltaic panels, the alternative energy of generating others. You build a new neighborhood, those houses will have photovoltaic solar panels generating electricity that helps make that those homes, that neighborhood, self-sustaining without having to depend upon the nuclear energy or the coal industry. And because photovoltaics is the cheapest form of generation of electric power. By doing that, you've made yourself, business-wise, you're paying less for your electricity to run your company. Manufacturing-wise, again, you have a lower electric rate to produce the product. We are competing in a global market. China is going full-blown bore on wind and photovoltaics.
Yeah.
If we're going to compete with China and the cost that it takes to generate your electric power to run your businesses and your manufacturing, you're going to have to keep up with the times. And these are the ones that are doing it. Going to save coal is bullshit.
That's insane. That's backward looking. We can't have any more backward looking politicians or policies. We've got to get forward looking and do it as quickly and as often and as much as possible.
Well, I think it's interesting that a majority of these candidates who are winning, too, are down on the ground talking about issues that are close to the constituent's heart.
Right.
The fact
that affect most people.
The fact that the majority of Republican candidates are not even up on what the issues are helps out a lot, too. I mean, Ron DeSantis down here doesn't understand what's really going on in the state, and he's at a loss often to explain what his positions are other than the standard Republican talking points.
Yeah, he's trying too hard to dress his little daughter in pro-Trump clothing and brainwash her with this with pro-Trump nonsense. That guy he's out to lunch.
Well, basically, Jack, that commercial backfired a bit on him down here, and it's been pulled.
I was going to say, I'd call him abuse.
Go for it, Gillum. Beat him. Beat him handily.
Well, I think he has a real good chance of doing that.
He will.
The other point is, you take a look at the commercials running for Bill Nelson, and it's as if he's never changed a commercial in his life. And he talks about his good record with healthcare and such, but it negates to say the corporate votes he makes too.
Right.
And you know, it was just really wrong to DNC not to encourage his retirement, but they just don't do that. You have to kick them out. He needs to be primary. But
he's a known commodity to them, and they don't want to upset the apple cart if they show any semblance of winning. And it looks like he is pulling ahead of your Rick Scott, and that's that's a good thing, because Rick Scott is a notorious bad man.
Well, he made over $500 million while he was in office as governor of the state. And people should be reminded.
Absolutely.
His friggin' policies that has our water table in such dire straits right now with the green, green algae blooms and the red tide. This is all through corporate runoff and big sugar.
Yep.
And the,
that he won't touch. He won't dare touch those things.
No, he's trying to blame Bill Nelson for all of that by saying that Washington's fault, and he'll change that. But people are happy who he is. He did go down to Puerto Rico 7 times to help out, as they say. But I think he read the writing on the wall as far as votes go by Puerto Ricans who were going to be displaced here in this state. In New York and California is where most Puerto Ricans, a lot of Puerto Rico, half of it, is now.
Mm-hmm.
And the majority of them, though, are so, you can imagine what they think of Trump and Republicans. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's really just stunning. But
well, you know, the Republicans have for many years, they've been like a bunch of lemmings. They'll all go in according. They'll do it hand in hand. They'll go right over a cliff together. And once Trump made a lot of noise and won the presidency, barely, and so they fell right into line and just were so happy to just follow him. They don't have any leadership ability. They just think that he's the leader and they've got to follow him. And that's going to bring them right to the edge of the cliff, and they're going to fall off it. In this election, I hope. I think they will. I'm pretty sure they will.
I don't know, Jack. I guess none of us really know what's really going to happen. But we've seen
evidence already. Look at what happened in Alabama. They elected the first Democratic senator in 25 years. All across Virginia, they elected a string of Democrats in a lot of red districts. So that should tell them all something. It should tell the whole country something, and I don't think it's going to stop overnight. It isn't going to stop on a dime. It's going to continue.
Well, you know, Trump seems to think if he says something in the press that the people make it true.
Oh, he's so delusional.
That's a real psychopathy. I mean, they're writing.
Nuts.
But the thing is that he basically says there's a red wave coming.
He's nuts.
And a lot of the media is picking up on that. You know, you start convincing people of shit
like that. Well, if you lie constantly, Joseph Goebbels practiced that. Adolf Hitler advocated it, and it's being put into use now by Trump. You know, and that the more you lie, the bigger the lie, and the more you lie, and the more often you tell it, the more often, more and more people will believe it. Well, it doesn't work that easily in this country. Thank God, you know.
Well,
I hope not.
To the contrary, I mean, you get a lot of people out there thinking that the absolute balderdash of Trump is the truth, and that's a fact.
They're a distinct minority, Gwen. We can't forget that. And they're not going to ever be a majority because people are not that damn stupid.
Well,
and they're not that easily led.
The masses are illiterate. The crowd is always stupid.
Trump's masses are very illiterate.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Abraham Lincoln's famous quote of, "You can fool all the people some of the time, and some of the people all the time."
Right.
But you can't fool all the people all the time. Did
That's
I get
very
that right
true. On? That's very, very true.
You can't fool all the people all the time. That's basically.
That's right, yep.
That just goes to prove my point. There are people out there that hate Trump, but they believe what he says because it's on television.
Yeah, well, they'll be in the minority and they're not going to win electoral office. Let's hope. Let's be confident of that.
Yeah, I'm hopeful of the same thing, Jack. I just, you know.
I just don't see it happening.
I don't either. But like I said, with events.
I don't even see a purple wave. I see a blue wave, and it's deep blue, and I like it. And I want to have it continue, and it will continue because it will deliver for people, unlike what we've seen in the past.
Well, what I'd really like to know what you think. We're coming up on it, and you don't have to tell me now, but I'd like you to make a invisible bet with me on who's going to win that Senate seat down in Texas.
That's up in the air, you know. But I Cruz is in trouble. He's in for the race of his life, and he deserves to be because he's a piece of crap. The other guy's a lot like Robert Kennedy. He speaks a lot like him, too, and that's encouraging. So I hope he defeats Cruz big time. I don't know. I'm not going to say he will definitely or that Cruz will definitely win. I'm not going to take a stand because I just don't know enough about it right now. I'm not down in Texas, and I don't have people down there telling me. But
the guy's name is Beto O'Rourke.
Beto O'Rourke, yeah, that's right.
He's very eloquent. He really is. But
he's very good.
He means what he says.
He does.
And he's also very gracious, which is another one of those Kennedy traits.
Right.
And graciousness is, has put Cruz on the egg on the face side of things in those debates they're having down there.
Right.
But it is, after all, Texas. So you just don't
Texas,
know.
And we just don't know.
Did you know that they held a concert last week to raise money for the last round of ads? And do you know who headlined the concert?
No.
Willie Nelson.
Oh, great. Willie's always been a closet liberal. He really has been.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a closet thing, but if you listen to how people in Texas are talking, it's like, we didn't know Willie was such a liberal type of thing. Well, he's always been very liberal. He was one of the formers of Farm Aid and stuff.
Right, exactly. That's true, yeah.
Which is still going on, by the way.
Oh, yeah. There are all kinds of good causes. People have risen to the occasion, and we want to encourage that to continue. It's the only sane thing to do. It's the only just and fair an honest thing to do. We can't be gobbled up by special interests any longer, and we can't be gobbled up by money any longer. We've got to do what's fair for the population, and I see a lot of people rising to that effort, and that's a very healthy thing, and we've got to have it continue, and I encourage it very greatly. So everybody, read me at the Saturday Afternoon Post. It's at www.jodell53.com. That's where you can find it. And you can see Wayne at the Minds and Times of F. Wayne Johnson. And you can hear us next Sunday on this same radio station. And thank you for tuning in today, Katie. I don't know if you're still there or not. I think 914 is in the New York area, isn't it? Upper New York?
Yes.
She's still there?
Yeah.
She's gone.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad she was there. It was nice to hear from her.
And we do encourage callers to call in because we do want to hear what you have to say and your thoughts. So
absolutely.
It's not just what's going on. So, all right, good night all. Have a good week, and we'll see you again this time next Sunday.
Keep pushing forward, everybody.
Thank you for tuning in. This has been Tier B Monsters Radio with the Sunday Show with our hosts, Jack Jodell, Wayne Johnson, and myself, Gwen Holdenberry. And please visit our sponsors, Daughters of Isis, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. You'll find all kinds of really nice aromatherapy that expresses through the lens of our cultural traditions. So thank you for listening. This has been our show. We'll be back next Sunday at 6 p.m. with Jack, Wayne, and myself.